This is the Friday, July 19, 2024 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. Ideal growing conditions helped add bushels to the crop, but cooler weather and global issues helped stabilize the recent fall in the trade. For the week, the nearby wheat contract lost 8 cents and the September corn contract fell 12 cents. Weather played on both sides of the current crop and some new stales started to trickle into the soy complex. The August soybean contract shed 8 cents, while August meal decreased $2 per ton. December cotton shrank by 57 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures added a quarter. The livestock market was mixed. August cattle improved 72 cents. August feeders cut $3.05. And the August lean hog contract found $3.13. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index strengthened 28 ticks. August crude oil lost $2 per barrel. COMEX gold subtracted 20.40 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index was down more than 10 points to settle at 563 even. Joining us now, regular market analyst Arlen Suderman. Hello, Arlen.
Good to be back.
Good to have you here. We were discussing weather here for a moment, and weather is a big story in wheat country. It was in the United States, but it's also become a big issue globally where European, Russian, Ukraine wheat is coming to the market or coming to the combines, but they're getting dumped on. What's that doing to the market right now?
Well, it helps support wheat at the end of the week. We started hearing reports of low protein, disappointing quality in France. Now they're 14% harvested, so it's very early. Same thing in Germany. That started causing the world to start saying, okay, what's the quality of the wheat crop? Because we have kind of a shortage of quality milling wheat. And then in that environment, you look at hot, dry conditions in the spring wheat belt of Russia. Same thing in the Canadian prairies, northern plains. And so a little bit of short covering at the end of the week. Don't know that it's enough of a problem yet to really justify sustaining a rally, but certainly something market's watching.
Okay. I'm sitting at home with some unsold, unpriced grain. What am I looking at for indications of what I should do next?
Probably wheat's in the best situation to maybe be able to take this if we continue to see these weather risks. Keep in mind, we have plenty of wheat in the United States. That's the bad news. We're overwhelmed with wheat after the last crop report and a big push, big increase in production estimates. The good news is, the market trades Black Sea fundamentals more than they trade U.S. fundamentals. So if this heat wave does continue, and there's some question about that, but if it does continue, we may have an opportunity to take wheat price a little higher. Farmer selling is kind of dried up now for a little while. That seasonally happens. We tend to get a little bit strength. Perhaps we get a little bit more of a rally here to sell. Corn and soybeans, the farmer's the big long. End user knows it. Managed money knows it. They know that if something happens to create a scare, the farmer will sell in that rally, let them off the hook. So rallies are going to be very difficult to sustain. Perhaps the strength in the wheat can help that a little bit if it gets going. But the farmer being long is really hurting right now.
If you are the corn producer specifically sitting on that old crop, sitting in the bin, the government says there's these huge amounts of stocks. There's still going to be a large carryout. Oh, and by the way, we have this ridiculously large crop that continues to grow. If I'm sitting old crop specific, am I really only going to get help from wheat? Or you mentioned a scare. Is that really what we're at right now?
You know, from a weather standpoint, we could get a scare in the Black Sea because a lot of Ukraine's corn has been in a lot of heat and is facing some yield loss in that region. That's not going to positively affect our exports for another 6 months or so. So that's waiting quite a while to really have an impact. Then you're waiting to see if La Nina has an impact in South America. Look at what basis is doing now. Really strengthened because farmers aren't selling. But we know there's a wall of corn we anticipate coming at some point. So are you going to be one of the first people to take advantage of that strengthened basis now, end your interest payments, or perhaps put your money out at interest that you have, and then use that money, if possible, to re-own if a story does develop?
You have a question that I think I'm going to ask in Market Plus, very similar to that. You must have peeked ahead at my question sheet here. Let's talk new crop for a minute, because like retail sales, neutral is a good thing. we don't have, weather is neutral, but if not, it's good, which ends up being bearish to the crop. But then we turn to a cold streak, cooler streak. What weather story is going to be the headline grabber enough for traders in the algos?
Right now, the risk of a hot, dry pattern seems to be lower than what was anticipated. I still say one of the bigger risks to watch is warm nights during the grain field period of time. That can hurt yields. Probably still less than 50% odds of that, but I think this is still the type of year where that could develop. So I'm watching that for now, the last half of July into August.
Do you, you mentioned the whole, the weather is different. I mean, because there was always this talk of a hot July. We're already three quarters of the way through the month and we haven't had a hot July, and it's not really going to get much worse, hotter next week. Has that ship sailed then, other than the hot nights that you're referring to?
Yeah, I think the hot nights is the bigger story temperature-wise. That could move the market. But the other thing to keep in mind, I know there's a lot of people watching here saying, but what about the flooded out areas, the ponded areas in Nebraska? What about the hailstorms? We can see them on the satellite data. I do think harvested acreage is going to come down. And when you start bringing harvested acreage down, if you bring it down 1 million acres, that's 180 million bushels off the bottom line. We need to take about 600 million bushels off in order to get the market interested. Okay, take 1 million or 2 off, that's a start in the right direction, that's not enough. But that does reduce the margin for error should we have warm nights and or we have problems in the Black Sea that reduce our crop and or we get La Nina to create problems with the South American crop this coming year. That makes an easier path to get to something like that.
Well, I think I've asked this question 3 times. I'm going to ask it a fourth. This is Neil in Ohio who wanted to know, Arlen, what will it take to reverse the bearish sentiment in the markets? And when that happens, will the door be large enough to let out all the traders out of their short positions?
Right now, with the farmer being the big long, probably so. That's why they're so comfortable in the corn and soybeans. In the wheat, not so much, because now we're getting into a time period when the farmer's not selling. You may sell some more when his 30 days free storage runs out, but a little bit more concerning wheat, which is why wheat may have a little bit more chance. But corn and soybeans management is sitting pretty comfortable right now with the farmer being the big long. When they get rid of that, then it'll be a different story.
The bean story seems a little more, this week, range bound. Are we set on that path for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, we got a little bit of a pop in this market because chart support held there for a few days. And then you combine that with the heat and dryness in the Black Sea, which is reducing the size of the canola crop, the sunflower oil crop, the soybean crop, and then the same thing in the Canadian prairies and northern plains. That may have a little bit more legs on it. We'll have to see and watch if soy oil can provide some support for soybeans. But that's really what we're putting our hopes in right now, as long as this looks like it's going to be a good crop.
New crop story towards the end of Friday started to emerge. The China may have overextended itself in how much new crop buying they were wanting to do. What does that do to a market over the weekend?
Yeah, as we look at China's importing about 6.5 million metric tons in July, August, and September, beyond what they did a year ago and beyond what they need. And that means that they can use those soybeans then in the fall when they normally would be buying from us, reducing their dependency on us even more than they did last year. If you look at the last time I looked here a week ago, they had purchased about 22 million bushels of soybeans, which is about a tenth of the new crop soybeans they normally have this time of year. There was a big sale to unknown destinations midweek this week. We don't know if that was China. It may have been. There's some speculation in China that Sinograin, which buys for their reserve, may be trying to stock up on U.S. soybeans for the reserve before the election day, before a possible Trump victory. But we can't confirm that. The commercial buyers for the crushers, though, they think there's going to be cheaper beans ahead, and they're still waiting.
And there is a political sentiment to the markets for China, specifically in soybeans. And we can fully flesh that out a little more in Market Plus because it needs more than 30 seconds that I have. Quickly on cotton, we're seeing an export story turn again back to the negative.
It really is. And it's largely just like soybeans and corn. Brazil has cheaper cotton. China buys 40% of our exported cotton, and they're going to Brazil.
All right. in livestock, we have cattle on feed came out today, 100% on feed, place 93. What is that telling you for direction guidance here in cattle or feeders?
Placements were a little bit lower than what was anticipated. They were expected to be lower because of two fewer business days in June this year than last year, but it was even lower than expected. So that's mildly supportive for Monday.
Which is a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And that's why the market hadn't anticipated or priced it in.
Live cattle specifically, there's the whole we're done with, we're not going to celebrate anymore. There's no more barbecues to be had. The demand window is passed. Beef is still high, still enjoying very large prices. At some point, this party has to end.
We did see this past week the choice cuts start to break. Hamburger's still really tight because the cow slaughter's come down. That's the first step in starting to rebuild the breeding herd. Now we'll see if we start holding back heifers into fourth quarter.
Who is driving that decision?
It's really going to come down to weather and obviously the economics to do so. But it looks like we've got another round of tightness coming ahead.
How soon on that?
We think maybe the fourth quarter of this year. We thought maybe that last year, but then the weather didn't cooperate. We didn't have the pasture, and so it put it off a year.
Speaking of pastures on feeders, pretty good feeder pasture condition in many parts of that area. What does that mean to the market?
Well, and particularly if we can get rains into plains going into the fall, good wheat pasture and everything, that tends to help encourage that cycle, holding the heifers back and starting to rebuild.
Hogwise, it goes back to China again. There's this content of we're going to send some exports to China, but then they're not, then they are. Where are we?
Yeah, I think China, it's hard to depend on them. We've seen good shipments elsewhere this year. That's been good. But overall, the demand really hasn't been as much a story as an oversupply, more supply than we anticipated. But the whole product situation seems to have really felt better this last week. The market, product market, just kind of felt a little firmer this past week.
As we close, the dollar, that is one of those that continues to be, whenever we have a global grain need, that becomes more dependent. Is that going to change anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm really afraid that the dollar is going to continue to be one of our problems, Achilles heel in the commodity markets, because Europe has more problems, the yen has problems, the other major currencies we compete with have significant problems.
What does all that mean?
That means a strong dollar, harder to compete, and that's the biggest advantage Brazil has right now.
And they needed another advantage to, I mean, a lot of things have been going Brazil's way right now.
Yeah, they really had. And this last week, I had a group of Brazilians in my office, Brazilian farmers and hedge fund people. And they're saying, you know, what price is it going to take for the farmer in the Midwest to plant less corn and soybeans? I said, I hate to tell you this, but they're not going to. And they just got a depressed look on their face.
Well, I'm not depressed. I'm happy you're here, Arlen. Good to see you. We'll continue our discussion here in a moment, okay?
Okay.
All right, Arlen Suderman. And as I said, we'll pause. This is the Market Analysis. We're going to continue in Market Plus as we keep talking about the markets in that segment. You can find both Analysis and Plus on our website of markettomarket.org. The first place that this program appears is on our YouTube channel. Stay in the loop by subscribing to our feed, clicking on the bell, and getting those notifications of new content. Let the technology work for you. Find us at Market to Market on YouTube. Next week, an extended discussion on the livestock and commodity markets. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.